Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're here in the second week of Easter, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, his triumph over death, which is such a timely theme and a reality that it's so important for us to be able to internalize. We're still making our way through this great global trial, this battle against what President Trump calls an unseen enemy, this COVID-19 virus, the whole reality of man's contingency, of our battle against death, of the weaknesses and limitations of our idols and their capacity at times like this to be able to give us the consolation and the value that we often seek in them. We're living through a profoundly important time. It's a time of great spiritual battle. The enemy certainly has his hand in all of this, and this virus is part of living in a fallen, broken world, in a sinful world, and we do have an enemy who desires to kill and to destroy and to lie and to manipulate. So we know, those who are baptized into Christ, those who are disciples of Jesus, we know we're not surprised by this kind of trial. We wish it were otherwise, and it's certainly a difficult thing for everybody to go through, but it's not a trial that God is distant from. This is happening in the plans of divine providence. God is somehow permitting it, and he's permitting it. There's been many good teachers on the internet, priests, bishops, lay people, communicating what they believe the Holy Spirit is saying to the church through this and reading the signs of the times. And clearly the hand of the Lord is in this. And I think it's a moment where the whole world has to confront its fear of death. It's always here. In good times, we use all our energy and focus and money and resources to distract ourselves from it, but we can't right now. And that's important. And it's something that God is permitting because we need it. You know, the scriptures are so clear that the wise man thinks often of his death to understand what is it? What is death? And what am I going to do about death? What am I going to do about the problem of death? I don't want to die. None of us want to die. Where does it come from? Well, the readings that we're given here in the second week of Easter, we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the answer to not only natural death, but he's the answer to the question of then what? What comes after I die? Is there something after I die? And the readings today and tomorrow are particularly helpful, I think. So I'm going to take up Acts chapter 4, which is the ongoing conflict between Peter and John and some of the other apostles and the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They're being dragged before the religious leaders because they healed the lame beggar at the Gate Beautiful. And they preached the gospel. They told people, how is this man healed? You know, 40 years old or older, people knew of him. They saw him. How suddenly had he been healed? And so they used it as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, to speak the name of Jesus. And at the end of chapter 3, I love it, Peter says, he says, God, having raised up his servant, that is Jesus, sent him to you first, that is to the people of Israel, right there in the temple, to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. Think about that. There he's standing in the temple in this holy city, in the holy temple, and he's calling people who are there in the temple to repentance. That's exactly what Jesus commanded them to do. If you go back to the, I think it's Luke's account of the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus with the apostles, he reminds them, he said, you know, essentially, he said his death was not an accident, that it was according to the scripture, that the Messiah must suffer and die and on the third day be raised. And Jesus said to the apostles, you are witnesses to this reality, that I was dead and now I'm alive. There is such a thing as life beyond death. And that life that passes beyond death, that's stronger than death itself, is in a person. It's in Jesus. And Jesus said, you're witnesses to these things. Now go to all the nations, he said, and preach the gospel. Tell them what you see and offer them the repentance, forgiveness for their sins. That's exactly what Peter's doing here, right? He's calling people to repentance. We're living at a time, I think, this moment, friends, that we're all living through is a time when the Lord is calling us away from all the busyness and the habits of normal life. I know that this situation has its own challenges and time demands, especially on young families and mothers and fathers whose kids are home all day long and you can't go anywhere. You're kind of hunkered down. So it's not as if it's a monastic experience for everybody who's there, but we're pulled out of the normal pattern of life. And it began in the season of Lent. It was a time when the whole church is called to examine itself in relationship to the Lord and to repent of our sins, to draw near to God. And the church is in deep need of it, very deep need of it. There's so much compromise in the church today. There's so many people who are on the fence. There's so many lukewarm baptized, so many who are saying yes to the pattern of the world as opposed to the pattern of Christ's life and being conformed to Him. So there's clearly a work of God in the midst of this great trial of purification, and God wants to get our attention. We want to be able to say each day, Lord, we know your hand is upon us. We know you're with us and you desire our attention. Lord, we want to turn from anything in our lives that doesn't receive you wholeheartedly. So chapter 4 of Acts, Peter goes on. And so at the beginning of this chapter, what we see is the religious leaders are coming together. And one of my favorite lines here in this whole section is verse 2. It says, they were annoyed. The religious leaders were annoyed at Peter and John and the other apostles because they were teaching people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. How about that? They were puzzled. They said, these are uneducated men. What do they know? And they were angry at them that they were teaching in the temple. So the teachers in the temple, the official teachers of the temple, were angry that Peter and John were both teaching in the temple, but in particular, they were proclaiming something. They were declaring a fact, a reality. And what they were declaring is that in Jesus, the Jewish people are called and can find eternal life, can find in Jesus the power of the resurrection from the dead. And so they arrested the apostles and they brought Peter and John before them, basically to try to get them to stop talking about Jesus. In verse 5, it says, on the next day, their rulers and elders, scribes, were gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family, so the highest authorities of the people of Israel. It's just the exact same thing was repeated from Jesus' experience not too long ago. Same thing happened to Jesus, and Peter watched at that point from a distance, but he repented. And now he finds himself standing exactly in the same place his master stood, as Jesus said he would. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is one of the early charismatic proclamations of the gospel, where that this is the core message, this is the nugget, the central thing that the apostles were anointed by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by Jesus to communicate. That Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins and that he was raised from the dead for our salvation so that we could have a share in what belongs to him. Verse 11 goes on and says, this is the stone which the builders rejected, but which has now become the cornerstone. He's referring to a passage in the Old Testament, anticipating who the Messiah would be. In verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The clarity of Peter's preaching and teaching is just fantastic. It's just so important for us to be able to internalize this message, and it's so relevant right now, friends. It's so relevant at this moment because the fact that we're coming up against the fear of death throughout, you know, country after country, it sobers the mind. It causes us to ask the question, how do I avoid death? Can death be avoided? And what is death in the first place? Peter makes it clear that humanity, every single human being needs to be saved. Saved from what? saved from the power of sin that produces the reality of death. Jesus came to deal with those two facts, those two realities. He came to take away sin and to destroy death. He swallowed up death in victory. Blessed be God. Peter again, I'll read it again in verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So friends, we can and we likely will overcome this coronavirus. But there's a great question to ask. If we avoid sickness and death through this, then what? Then what? Because we all know eventually we're going to die anyway. To solve this virus problem doesn't solve the problem of death. It doesn't answer the ultimate question. For every single one of us, the day's coming when my heart, your heart, is going to stop beating. And I'm going to die. Scripture says it's going to come very quickly. You know, life is a breath. It's a passing shadow. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Who has wisdom in the face of death's power? The church. This is the moment for the church to be able to be living in freedom from fear. We don't have to fear what other men fear, because we understand that there's a power within us now that's greater than death itself. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that will raise each one of us from the dead if we die in Christ. We know that this is a fallen world. It doesn't surprise us that this kind of suffering and trial and people who don't know Christ and don't have anything to hope in, we can understand why they panic so deeply. But we stand first against this virus in the power of Jesus. We pray, we intercede. It's not something that was initiated by God. It's an evil. And so we pray in the name and the power of Jesus Christ to break its hold. But we also pray, Lord, don't let this moment pass. We pray for every person we know, every lukewarm Catholic who's not standing and really living for you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. For those who don't know you, Jesus, may this moment, may this crisis provoke and shake people to their bones so they will ask the ultimate question. Because the only real definition, friends, of success, the only real definition of a completely fulfilled life is someone who dies in Christ. Because he will die, she will die, sharing in the eternal life that's in him alone. We'll see this week where John the Apostle writes and reminds us what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God does not want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to have eternal life, a share in his divine life, a life that will never end. Lord, we pray today with all our hearts, Lord, we ask that you move in the power of your Spirit through us and in us and in your holy church. We pray, Lord God, that many people would come to know you. Lord, purify us, cleanse us, empower us to walk in the footsteps of the apostles for the praise of your glory. Amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.